Only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. How we are different. We endure. From 2 Timothy chapter 2. Think of our scripture this way. Paul, the seasoned, experienced pastor, instructing and encouraging his beloved protege, Timothy. Boil down the whole message of our epistle today to Timothy, and frankly to all Christians, and it's simply this. Don't quit. Don't quit. Jesus didn't quit, and his true followers will be loyal to him throughout their lives. One of the greatest discouragements and disappointments as a pastor, and to all pastors, I think, is that people quit. Once passionate for Jesus, fully understanding what he's done, they are now listless, unmoved, and not present. Ironically, this causes a lot of pastors to quit. Add to that hardships and in many places in the world, persecution, and pastors quit, and people quit. And then, of course, we live in a rich land. There are many, many temptations. Start shifting your attention to money, to pleasure, to renown or popularity. Again, this is not just pastors, it's all Christians. The center focus is Jesus Christ, but then we think we got to live. We got to have. We got to experience. Temptations flood our life and they cause us to be like any non-Christian. We lose our uniqueness. What's the most obvious identification that we're a Christian? I mean, how could people tell that you're a Christian? The most obvious one, maybe not the truest one, but the most obvious one. I'm not going to go on until you tell me. It is that we do what? Well, that's it. Who said that? Yes. Okay. Right. It was a man and a woman. Right. That's great. That is wonderful because that's true. I'll be at worship if it doesn't rain. If I'm not exhausted, if things work out, if I have the time, if I get through my tough schedule, if I can get the deal done, if the Vols win. After all, and I've heard people say this, you can be a Christian without going to church. Isn't that right? Jesus, you are a priority, just not today. Paul, in our lesson today, is talking to all Christians, not just Timothy or pastors. He often uses the example of soldiers and athletes in explaining how a true Christian is different. First, think of soldiers. How many of you were our veterans, went to boot camp? Okay, I salute you, right? I didn't have the pleasure of going to boot camp like many of you. But I can imagine what it would be like. They break you down in order to build you back up. At least that's what I would think. The focus is on the drill sergeant. And the process is making you stronger and able to endure. You leave behind your former life, your civilian life, doesn't count. You want to please your commanding officer. Just so, Christians want to please Jesus above everything else. A single, solitary focus animates our lives. I want to please you, Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. And there's the example of the athlete. And there's really something interesting in the Greek here. Really fascinating. Because it says, the athlete who competes according to the rules. And what that actually means is that one who struggles full time. In other words, differentiating it from someone who's an amateur, a weekend warrior, as we say. No, what Paul has in mind here is something like a professional athlete. The Christian is like a professional athlete giving full-time dedication. In other words, there's no part-time Christian. I'm a Christian today, but on Monday I'm not. No, that's not it. Just as an athlete seeks excellence, so the Christian aims for dedication, a non-quit kind of attitude. We run for Jesus Christ. Because he is so important to us, we discipline ourselves. In other words, because we love him and we want to run with him, we say no to certain things. And we say yes to other things. We deny ourselves. That discipline is so important. The tragedy is far too many Christians, they don't go the distance. How many I've known like that? It saddens me, really. They disdain the discipline, perhaps. They ignore the loving commandments. They tire. They want to do their own thing. And they do so because Jesus isn't the love of their life. Paul tells us, remember Jesus Christ. He didn't quit for us. He went the whole way. The gospel, that incredibly good news that ought to seize your life, your focus, your heart, your whole life. And here's the gospel. Jesus, truly God, truly man, set his face like flint, that is, with absolute determination. He went on to what he knew was coming, incredible suffering on the cross, though he had never sinned. He endured hell itself so that you will never have to endure it. He took our sins upon himself, finished the race, was raised from the dead, received the crown, and he did every bit of this for you and for me. Because of him, you can finish the race. Receive eternal life. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and the race will be won, guaranteed. Guaranteed. He'll give you all you need. And you know, Jesus is the pattern, too, of how to live a life of endurance. When he walked this earth, he exhibited, and this may sound strange because he was God, godliness. Jesus practiced godliness. He pursued it. Godliness can be defined as having a self-conscious sense of God's presence in your life. And this is what we're to aim for. To pursue godliness means that every day we're conscious of God, of Jesus, of the Spirit in our life. This is where we can draw strength to continue the fight, the race. We can endure, we can finish, because Jesus, God, is with us. And when we trip and when we falter, he'll be there to pick us up, help us along the way. The Spirit helps us. He's the air we breathe. And so we're different. Very different. Here's the clarion call for today. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Commit yourself to Jesus, who committed himself to you first. Don't you think life is about commitment? I know a lot of people don't think this. They're committed today and then they're not. But I think life is about commitment. It's about endurance and doing the right thing when the right thing is not easy to do. I know many people think of morality and decency and character, and they talk about it. But knowing the right thing and doing the right thing are two different things. You know it's right to worship the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday. But do you do it? You know it's right to put him first in everything. But do you do that? You know that honesty and integrity and avoiding things like sexual immorality and greediness is the right way to go. But do you do it? He's calling you to follow him and do these things. Commitment means you won't give up following Jesus. I want to read something from a pastor Lewis Schmid once wrote. He puts it quite plainly. I was impressed with it. He writes, "I want to say to you that if you have a ship that you will not desert, if you have people you will not forsake, if you have causes you will not abandon, then you're like God. When a person makes a promise, he reaches out into an unpredictable future and makes one thing predictable. He will be there even when being there costs him way more than he had expected to pay." That's commitment. And that's why Christians, true Christians, are different. The call is not just about commitment, but we have to add the element of risk. Faith and risk go together. The runner finally activates the kick to try to win the race. And the risk is he may not have enough. She may not have enough. We take the risk. We kick. The soldier knows he may be advancing into danger, and yet, nevertheless, he advances. It's the risk every soldier must take. The Christian kicks. The Christian advances, not knowing what will happen. Believing, committing, enduring. The credo of too many passive Christians is don't just do something, sit there. You know. That shouldn't be us. Hudson Taylor had this thought-provoking saying, unless there's an element of risk in our exploits for God, there's no need for faith. To be a Christian is to risk. And in our world today, the risk is this, that we'll be mocked, that we'll be spoken of and misunderstood. And yet, we must advance. We must take our stand. We must risk being mocked. We should never hide our love for Jesus. Never hide our love for Jesus. I was recently on this cruise, just came back. And so I put this to the test myself, you know. A lot of people on this cruise were not Christians, obviously. But I always tell them, and they ask me what I do, I'm a Lutheran pastor. I do marriage counseling on this trip. Frankly, I have done it. It's good to test ourselves, to introduce ourselves as Christians. I'm a Christian. You can't say pastor, but you can say, I'm Christian. Not in a haughty way, not in anything like that. We're not better than other people, are we? We're forgiven. But we can endure those who make snide remarks. We can. We fear it way too much because often it doesn't happen. They admire our convictions, even if they don't share them. Why are we Christians different? Because we don't quit. When you're 5 years old, when you're 11, when you're 22, I don't remember that, but when you're 31, when you're 47, when you're 55, when you're 63, when you're 78, when you're 84, when you're 96, I think that's as far as we go in our church. I will follow Jesus. I will not quit. In the children's sermon today, I asked the children how old they thought I was. One blessed child said, you're 49. I wanted to kiss her. No. But I asked them, please, I hope when you're my age that you will still be a believer, that you won't drift away as we hear young people are drifting away. I love to see people of all ages here. Don't drift away. Follow Jesus to the end. Commit to him. You will falter at times, but he'll be there. He'll forgive you. Jesus is more important to us than anything else in the world. And that makes us very, very different. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.